This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The real cost of avoiding conflict in negotiation, what the research and scripts reveal. Why staying silent at the table costs you far more than speaking up ever could. In short, avoiding conflict in negotiation does not preserve relationships or protect outcomes. It quietly destroys both. Every unaddressed disagreement at the table compounds into a larger rupture later. The other party reads your silence as consent, weakness, or disinterest, none of which serves your position. Engaging conflict directly with the right words and the right preparation is the only path to agreements that hold. Definition: avoiding conflict in negotiation is the deliberate or unconscious choice to sidestep disagreement, tension, or competing interests during a negotiation. It typically manifests as conceding too quickly, staying silent on critical issues, or redirecting away from uncomfortable topics to preserve short-term comfort at the expense of durable outcomes. Most people think of negotiation as a contest of positions. You want one thing, the other party wants something else, and somewhere in the middle you find an agreement. That framing is common, and it is mostly harmless. But it leaves out the single most important variable in whether any negotiation succeeds or quietly falls apart: what happens when real conflict surfaces, and whether either party has the courage to stay in it. In my experience, avoiding conflict in negotiation is far more common than people admit, and far more damaging than they realize. It does not look like cowardice. It looks like professionalism. It looks like keeping the room calm, not pressing too hard, choosing a long-term relationship over a short-term win. That story is reassuring. It is also, in most cases, wrong. What follows is an examination of what is actually happening beneath the surface of avoidance, why it produces the outcomes it does, and what you can do instead. Why conflict at the negotiating table feels dangerous. The discomfort you feel when a negotiation turns tense is not a character flaw. It is biology. Your brain does not cleanly separate interpersonal conflict from physical threat. When someone pushes back hard, challenges your position, or raises their voice slightly, your nervous system responds. Blood moves toward your limbs. Your thinking narrows. Your instinct is to retreat, smooth things over, or give ground. This is not weakness. It is a deeply ingrained human response. But in a negotiation, it produces a consistent and costly pattern. The person who feels most uncomfortable makes the most concessions, and they do it before they need to. They read the other party's firmness as an impasse, when it is often simply a negotiating position. They interpret silence as disapproval and rush to fill it. They mistake the friction of genuine problem-solving for the beginning of a breakdown. Understanding this mechanism changes how you interpret your own behaviour at the table. That urge to soften, redirect, or concede is not wisdom. It is anxiety wearing the costume of diplomacy. The hidden damage that avoidance does to negotiations. Here is the truth of it: avoidance does not eliminate conflict. It relocates it. When you sidestep a point of genuine disagreement during a negotiation, that disagreement does not resolve itself. It gets buried inside whatever agreement you eventually reach. And buried issues have a way of surfacing later, usually during implementation, when the costs of revisiting them are significantly higher and the goodwill in the room is significantly lower. I have watched business negotiations collapse not at the table, but 3 months after the handshake, when one party discovers that a critical concern they raised and then retreated from was never actually addressed. The agreement looked solid. The relationship looked intact. Neither was. The rupture that eventually came was louder and more damaging precisely because it had been deferred. How unmet needs drive team conflict, and what to say to restore synergy explores this pattern in team settings, but the mechanics are identical in negotiation. Unmet needs do not disappear when you stay quiet about them. They accumulate interest. There is also a second cost that people rarely name. When you consistently avoid direct engagement with conflict, you train the other party to push harder. Your willingness to give ground under pressure becomes a reliable signal. They learn, often unconsciously, that applying pressure produces results. Every concession made from discomfort rather than genuine reasoning increases the likelihood that the next conversation will open with even more pressure, not less. What avoidance actually looks like in practice. Avoidance in negotiation really announces itself. It comes dressed in reasonable sounding behaviour. You accept a less favourable term because raising it again feels repetitive. You skip past a clause you're not comfortable with because the meeting has been long and the mood is fragile. You agree to a deadline you can't meet because saying so feels confrontational, and you tell yourself you will figure it out later. These small surrenders feel like good judgment at the time. Cumulatively, they hollow out the agreement. One scenario I have seen repeatedly: a manager negotiating project resources with a senior stakeholder senses resistance early and immediately adjusts their ask downward, without testing whether the resistance is firm or simply reflexive. They end up with a fraction of what they needed. The project suffers, and resentment builds quietly on both sides. The stakeholder eventually wonders why the manager keeps underperforming. The manager wonders why they never seem to get proper support. Neither ever names the real problem, which is that it was never properly negotiated in the first place. If you want to handle conflict during meetings or high-stakes conversations, the first skill is recognizing these avoidance patterns in yourself before they cost you the outcome. Why smart people miss this pattern in themselves. The reason avoidance persists in negotiation, even among experienced professionals, is that it carries a convincing internal narrative. You are not avoiding. You are being strategic. You are preserving the relationship. You are reading the room. You are choosing your battles. These explanations are not always wrong. Sometimes backing down is the right call, but there is a reliable test if your decision to retreat was driven primarily by discomfort rather than a genuine assessment of the situation. Avoidance is what happened. Strategy and avoidance can look identical from the outside. Only you know which one drove the choice. There is also a cultural layer. Many people, particularly those raised in environments where open disagreement was seen as disrespectful or destabilizing, carry deep conditioning around conflict. For them, raising a difficult point at the table does not just feel uncomfortable, it feels wrong. That conditioning is powerful and often invisible, which makes it especially difficult to challenge. How to de-escalate arguments during meetings, and how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation both address this grounding challenge. How do you stay clear and composed when everything in you wants to back away? A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Eight Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments. The ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The mechanics of engaging conflict without burning the room. Engaging conflict in a negotiation does not mean fighting. It means naming the tension, separating the issue from the person, and keeping the conversation focused on problem-solving rather than position-defending. The practical shift starts with language. Compare these two approaches to the same moment. Avoidance version. You sense the other party is unhappy with your timeline. You offer to move it forward before they ask, hoping to smooth the moment over. Direct version. I can see the timeline is a sticking point. Help me understand what is driving that, and let us see if there is a structure that works for both of us. The second version names the conflict without escalating it. It signals confidence. It invites collaboration. And it keeps you from conceding something you may not need to concede at all. I cover the full architecture of this kind of conversation in Say It Right Every Time, specifically the deal method. Define the issue, explore perspectives, agree on a solution, lock in the commitment. It is a four-step process designed to turn emotionally charged moments into structured problem-solving. The reason it works in negotiation is that it replaces the improvised scramble most people experience under pressure, with a reliable sequence they can actually follow. The deal method for resolving conflict that fractures team synergy applies the same structure to team dynamics, and the principles translate directly to any negotiation table. Preparation matters here more than most people acknowledge. If you know the likely points of friction before you sit down, you can prepare specific language for each one. You do not have to improvise under pressure. You arrive with a script, a framework, a tool you have already tested. That preparation is not a sign of anxiety. It is a sign of respect for the process, for the other party, and for your own position. How to use the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate shows this preparation in action for some of the most resistant conflict scenarios you will encounter. When the damage is already done, repairing a negotiation this avoidance has fractured. Sometimes the avoidance has already happened. The agreement is in place, the cracks are showing, and the relationship is freeing because neither party ever properly addressed what was actually at stake. This is repairable. but it requires a direct conversation that names what happened, not with blame, but with clarity. Something like, I think we moved past a few things in our earlier conversations that we need to come back to. I would rather address them now than let them become larger problems. That sentence takes courage. It also takes the conversation somewhere productive. How the bridge method rebuilds working relationships after tension has created a genuine breakdown gives you a structured path for exactly this kind of repair, a six-step process that begins with acknowledgement and ends with a clear commitment to a different way forward. The deeper resource for preparing these high-stakes re-engagements is Say It Right Every Time, which provides word-for-word scripts for the moments when you know what you need to say but cannot find the right words under pressure. When avoidance has become a habit and trust has eroded, having exact language prepared is not a crutch. It is a lifeline. Conflict is the work, not the obstacle to it. Here is what six decades of watching people negotiate has taught me. The negotiators who get the best outcomes over the long run are not the most aggressive or the most accommodating. They are the ones who treat conflict as information. When tension surfaces in a negotiation, something real is being communicated. A need is unmet. A concern has not been heard. An assumption has not been tested. The negotiator who can stay in that moment, engage it with directness and respect, and help both parties understand what is actually driving the disagreement, that person earns agreements that last. Avoiding conflict in negotiation is not a neutral choice. Every time you sidestep a real tension at the table, you pay a price. Sometimes immediately, sometimes months later, always more than you expected. The antidote is not aggression. It is preparation, clear language, and the courage to name what is actually in the room. That courage can be built. It starts with deciding that the discomfort of a direct conversation is smaller than the cost of silence. Frequently asked questions. What is avoiding conflict negotiation? Avoiding conflict in negotiation means deliberately sidestepping disagreement, tension, or difficult topics during a negotiation. It feels protective in the moment, but typically results in unresolved issues, weakened agreements, and eroded trust between both parties over time. Why do people avoid conflict during negotiations? Most people avoid conflict in negotiation because disagreement feels threatening. The brain registers interpersonal tension as danger, triggering a retreat response. Add in a fear of damaging the relationship or appearing aggressive, and staying quiet feels like the safer, more professional choice. What does avoiding conflict in negotiation actually cost you? The real cost is compounding. Unresolved issues resurface later, often with more emotion attached. Agreements built on avoidance are fragile and frequently collapse during implementation. You also signal to the other party that your concerns can be dismissed, weakening your position in every future interaction. How do you engage conflict in a negotiation without damaging the relationship? Name the tension without accusation. Separate the issue from the person, state your concern clearly, and invite the other party to problem solve with you. Phrases that begin with the situation rather than blame keep the conversation productive and protect the working relationship at the same time. What is the difference between conflict and confrontation in negotiation? Conflict is a natural divergence of interests or needs. Confrontation is an aggressive, personalized response to that divergence. Skilled negotiators engage conflict directly while avoiding confrontation entirely. The goal is clarity, not combat, and that distinction changes every word you choose at the table. How do scripts help when avoiding conflict has become a habit? Scripts lower the cognitive load in tense moments. When your brain is flooded with anxiety, improvising the right words becomes nearly impossible. A prepared phrase gives you a reliable starting point, reduces hesitation, and shifts your focus from self-protection to genuine problem-solving. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.